What's the 411? You tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens, parents, and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. City by city, soda taxes gain acceptance. Is soda food? Should we ban purchases of soda with food stamps? What role does politics have in health? Plastics have a profound impact on wildlife, humans, and the environment. And memories remain vivid as we commemorate the 75th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and joining me at the roundtable, I welcome students from Florida High. We have Harley Rimba. He is in the 10th grade. He attends Florida High. His thing is golf, friends, and politics.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Lauren Shirley. She's a junior. Journalism, family, friends, and psychology.
Great to be back again.
Always good to have you. And Kalisha Sierra. She is a senior. Her thing is work, friends, and art.
Happy to be here.
Well, on December 7th, we commemorated the 75th attack on Pearl Harbor, also known as the Battle of Pearl Harbor. The memories run deep and vivid for those who witnessed the surprise military attack. The attack commenced at 7:48 Hawaiian time. The base was attacked by 353 Imperial Japanese fighter planes, bombers, and torpedo planes. All 8 U.S. Navy battleships were damaged. 4 sank. The Japanese also damaged 3 cruisers, 3 destroyers, an anti-aircraft training ship, 1 mine layer. 188 U.S. aircraft were destroyed. 2,403 Americans were killed, and 1,178 were wounded, and there was more damage. The Japanese losses were light. 64 servicemen were killed. 1 was captured. The attack came at a profound shock to the American people. The following day, the U.S. declared war on Japan. Because the attack on Pearl Harbor happened without declaration of war and without explicit warning, the attack on Pearl Harbor was judged by the Tokyo trials to be a war crime. We have numerous commemorations of Pearl Harbor. When we talk about Pearl Harbor to you all as young folks, what significance does it have to you?
I didn't know that Pearl Harbor was considered a war crime. Personally, to me, I don't have anyone that's associated with Pearl Harbor, and I don't know anyone. We learn about it in history, and I know, didn't we just recently watch a TED Talk about a man who, or maybe it wasn't in Mr. Kappas's class, but it was about a man who either his father or he had been the imprisonment camps that the U.S. after the attack,
right.
How he was basically describing his story, how the soldiers came in and they took him and his family and just describing all of that. So.
And that you bring up a good point. I'm going to come back
to
that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a difficult. Obviously, so many lives were lost, but it's not something that affects me. I mean, sure, it affects our politics, and that affects me, but yeah.
Okay. All right.
I had family that was enrolled in the Navy at that time.
Oh, okay.
They were not stationed in Pearl Harbor, but they were stationed throughout the U.S. and throughout the world. I think.
Do they talk about it? Have you ever heard them talk about it?
I've heard stories about it, but I can't recall of any specific ones right now.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. What about you?
I had family members as well that were involved in the
Air Force at that time, but nothing associated with Pearl Harbor at all. I mean, it's obviously, like, tragic event, but I don't have any association.
You don't have any visceral response to it or anything?
No, I think it's sad, but obviously, and, like, tragic, but I don't think, no, not really.
And, you know, we talk about it being a war crime because it was, there was no declaration of war. Nobody knew. It was an attack that we were not prepared for. No one knew it was happening. The other side, playing devil's advocate, is it all fair in war? I mean, if it's war, I mean, I'm just trying to get a feel for where you all are. You know, I mean.
I don't know. I guess I was surprised that it was considered a war crime because it's war, and if you're going to surprise attack your enemy, isn't that a strategy that you use in war? Maybe it was just because of the amount of lives, the boats that all went down. I'm not positive, but I'm sure, pretty sure there were people, lots and lots of people on those boats. But,
well, we weren't in war with Japan at the time, so that's right. Why it was surprising, because we weren't in war.
Yeah.
You could, if you go back to, like, a lot, the alliances and everything, Germany and Japan kind of had an affiliation at the time, so being one of, like, the powerhouses, you knew it was coming, but you didn't know when, or if it was before we declared war. It was just...
Yeah, the next day, then we declare war.
Yeah.
But, again, the other side is, if you're at war or at odds, to say, with another country, do you declare war? I guess according to the Tokyo trials.
Well, I just thought about something to compare it to, which I totally don't agree with this at all.
Well,
every time
I think
about
it,
it makes me shudder. We bombed Hiroshima and we bombed
Nagasaki.
Yeah, but we gave them warning. We told them that we were going to bomb their people and bomb their cities, and I'm pretty sure they didn't believe us or something like that. Obviously, that's a warning. If we had just gone and done that, I mean, I'd hope it'd be considered a war crime because of the amount of people that we killed. So maybe it's that. Maybe it's the warning that keeps it from being a war crime. If you can save the lives of people, then...
But if it's war and you're at odds...
Yeah.
I mean...
I just don't think they took it seriously when we, like, I would say threatened with the hydrogen bombs. Because that's the bomb we used was a hydrogen bomb.
And I'm also wondering, and I'm not downplaying this, but we're just looking at... Maybe it was because we were caught off guard.
I think it's because we weren't... We're prepared.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, and there was so much devastation.
Yeah.
I mean, we really lost a lot of life.
248 Imperial fighter jets?
Well, 2000, yeah. 2,400
Americans.
I'm saying Imperial fighter planes.
It was, as far as the Imperial fighter plane, it was 353 Japanese Imperial planes.
That did a lot of damage. That's a lot of planes.
Yeah.
And
yeah, we weren't expecting it at all, because I remember watching a documentary last year about it, and the people who were actually monitoring, like, the air and stuff, they were pretty relaxed that day. They also, like, said that they weren't expecting anything, and that there was nothing that could have happened.
So they were just laid back,
and the air was calm and stuff, and then all of a sudden, they just saw people coming, and by the time that they could, you know, tell everyone else, it was just too late.
It was too late. There's nothing they could do.
We were just laid back. And
with those, it's when you get careless. You're so used to being fine, and that's when you get careless, and then something happens.
Oh, okay. That could possibly be. But what about, and I want to go back to what you said, because we said, what about the deterrent, or internment, of various Japanese... These were American citizens, okay, that were put in...
Japan.
Yeah, they
in
were
camps.
Japanese.
Yeah.
Camps, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They had nothing to do with the war.
Yeah.
It was just their heritage. It was just who they were.
Okay, so we've...
How do you feel about
we've
that?
We've studied a little bit of this in American history, and it's about what people, what securities, what liberties and rights people are willing to give up to be safe. And, I mean, it happens throughout history multiple times when crap hits the fan, when people are scared, when things get really bad, then that's usually when something drastic happens. After 9/11, after the bombing of Pearl Harbor.
We didn't put people in jail.
No, we didn't. I mean,
in camps.
We did, we registered all of them. So that's a form of, you know, taking your civil rights and liberties away. Obviously, I feel like camps are an extreme, but it's the same thing when we feel that our security is threatened by something.
I think it's when something that we've never had happen before, like that was the first time something that like that happened to the United States. So I think it's when something that happens to us that we're not expecting, that we've never experienced before, you just kind of go into a state of panic. So that was our immediate response to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we've learned from that. I think it has obviously there are many cases where we are definitely in the wrong with multiple things, especially like the 9/11 stuff. Like that's totally out of control. But I think that speaking on the camps, I don't think that that's necessary anymore, that we do that anymore.
Okay. Harley, you look like your wheels are turning in your head.
I was thinking about saying something, but I forgot it.
I don't know. I just... Is it right? I mean, is it wrong? Do we...
But is all fair in war? I mean, you know, and that's just what I'm trying to
remember.
Okay.
There you go.
There's being an American citizen, there's some things that you sacrifice to, like, have your rights, I guess, or have the safety under, like, the safety as an American citizen. And some things, I'm not going to say it was right, but sometimes you have to do what you have to do to protect like, the people you love or, like, your citizens.
I'll accept that. You tuned in to 411 Teen. I'm talking with students from Florida High. We're going to take a break, but we'll return momentarily. Americans drink a lot of soda. In fact, Americans drink more soda than any other kind of beverage. The question arises, should sugary soft drinks be subject to a special tax as a way to fight obesity and provide money for health care reform? It's a part of a larger debate about so-called junk food taxes or fat taxes. The basic economic concept is that making something more expensive by taxing it discourages people from buying it, similar to thinking behind like the sin taxes often imposed on cigarettes and alcohol. Should the government tax your Coke?
I think not.
Okay. No.
It's a no from me.
Okay. What do you think?
No.
Why?
I think a no because not all sodas fall under one category. Well, they
wait a minute.
Okay, they do. They fall under one category. But they have like, there's like different sections of that category. It like branches down. There's, like, the healthier sodas and, like, the non-healthy sodas.
Well,
there's, like...
I just feel like all soda is bad. I just... I don't drink it because I'll stop drinking it. Like, I'll drink water for 2 years, and then I'll drink soda, and I'll be like, oh, my gosh. And I work in fast food. So what people don't know is that soda is a big bag of liquid syrup.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all you're drinking, which grosses me out. So I'm not about soda. But if someone wants to drink soda, drink soda.
Yeah, I mean, like, I understand the obesity part, like how, like, Americans are
Diabetes.
Generally
it's
fat.
Not just obesity, it's diabetes. I mean,
yeah. I know that we're generally, like, a larger, like, population.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand sodas can lead to it, but there's, like, regulation in doing it.
Okay.
It's like, your body's your body.
Okay.
If, like, I drink soda, but I normally, like, work out, like, 4 times a week. So, like, I compensate for it.
Okay.
I guess. And then I eat healthy besides that.
Okay.
I think that it also shouldn't be brought into play because, like, they're doing trial tests on it in different states, like New York, I know.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I think that's really imposing because, like, that's the government making decisions for you, and that shouldn't happen. Because I read that they're actually doing 1 cent of tax on every ounce of soda. So if you get...
Some do up to two.
Yeah.
Some places do up to 2 cents.
That's insane. I mean, yeah, soda is not...
straight from Circle K. I do not want to pay
that's 32 cents more than what you would already pay on that soda.
Instead of getting that 88 cent Polar Pop, it'd be like $1.12.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly.
So,
and that's
the
goal.
Yeah, I don't think that's the government's right to do that. Obviously, that we're obese as a population. Like, the percentages are much higher than other countries. But I think that soda's not the only thing that leads to obesity
mm-hmm.
and all these other different diseases mm-hmm. that come with...
lack of activity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you, Lauren, you anticipated my question because I was going to ask you, how do you feel about the government telling people, basically what they're doing is telling people what to eat. And the soda manufacturers say, well, the problem is not soda. The problem is the individual. We aren't making you drink this soda.
Yeah. Okay? They're not telling you to consume as much soda that's unhealthy. You are doing it yourself.
It's your own regulations.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, now, the other side is it's estimated that a penny an ounce on sugary beverages would raise $15 billion in its first year, okay? And this applies to carbonated and non-carbonated sodas, drinks, energy drinks, sport beverages. Some juices, iced teas, but it doesn't apply to sugar-free drinks.
So that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is a lot of money.
Has there been talk about what to do with this money?
Oh, yeah. They want to support some early childhood, some school programs. I mean, so they could do a lot with it. Okay, but again, you know.
Are they
going
to well, say that? It's at a point where are they? Let's see. Berkeley and Philly, I think, were the first two cities to advocate this and, you know, to get it passed. Mm-hmm. So that's where it's at. So it's a little early for me to be able to
tell us,
exactly what's happening.
It's just, like, the idea of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's something to think about. I mean, of course, the question may be, what will they really do with this money? It's like the lottery.
Yeah.
You know, they're supposed to do all this stuff with lottery money and enhance education and scholarships and all of this. And there's a big question if they really do all of that with it. So
I think it's just crazy because, like, if you compare it to, like, other stuff besides, like, soda, like, you put, like, their train of thought and, like, the principle behind it to, like, other different things, like, oh, they could do this, too. That doesn't sound right. Like,
well, I think, from what I understand, the real impetus is on health. Okay? Mm-hmm. And it's not just obesity. It's more diabetes and heart disease. Because what happens is you overload your system, and the pancreas and the liver, in turn, have problems functioning, and then it leads to diabetes. And, you know, so it's not just being obese.
One penny on an ounce isn't going to, you know.
If
I want to have a soda and I really want it and I'm obese, then I'm going to give them my money to pay for it. I don't think that's going to help my obesity at all.
Okay, so you don't, I guess what you're saying is you don't feel like it would deter
individuals. It would definitely not deter people.
I think it would just make people mad more than anything.
Like, well, it's like, I'm going to buy it, but I'm not happy I'm buying it. I mean,
if you're thirsty, you're thirsty.
Yeah, if you're thirsty, you're thirsty. You're going to drink it.
Okay, all right. But let me present it to you in this way. What's wrong with taxing something that is harmful? What we're saying, in essence, is let's say you buy a soda and normally it would be 75 cents, okay? But with this tax, it would be, and I'm just throwing a number out there, $1.25 maybe. But they're saying that if the extra money they get from tax, they can do a lot of things to help your school and help your environment. So that's the idea. So they're thinking, let's raise the price, and people will stop drinking it, and in turn, they will be healthier.
We tax cigarettes, right? We tax alcohol. Mm-hmm. Isn't everything taxed?
Right. Next question. That's big soda, big tobacco. I mean, it's the same kind of thing.
Our tax money that we already pay on taxes goes towards, we're already raising so much money for the government with the taxes. So I don't think that it's necessary to raise it by penny per an ounce to make more money because we're already paying a tax. It's just more tax to the tax.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not advocating. I'm just throwing it out there for you.
I know. I just think it's silly. Like, and it doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay. Felicia, you look like you're thinking about that.
I don't know. I mean, it always comes back to, like, what you said. It always comes back to health.
Yes.
So should we tax something that's bad for us, but aren't there so many things that are bad for us?
Well, and those things that I'm not going to say all of them, but the one thing, big thing that we know is really bad for us is tobacco products.
Tobacco.
And we tax that.
Yeah.
Let me just say this, and then I'll come to your house. The question is, soda, is it a food? Does it have any nutritional value?
It has no nutritional value. And, that's, I mean, bad. It's not food. It's just something that they found that people like.
It's just sugar?
Sugar.
Mm. Well, let me just throw something else into it. Breakfast cereal, ice cream. Yogurt that we, you know, purport as being so great and healthy. Yogurt, biscuits, chocolate. These are other things that are really high in sugar. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Self-regulation. I think that's what it all comes down to.
Much do you care about yourself?
How much? I mean, it's not, we're not living like in the old times anymore where people didn't know that cigarettes were bad for you. Obviously, if you're going to drink a lot of sugar, if you're going to consume a lot of sugar, then that's bad for your body. Mm-hmm. It's bad for your health. It's going to affect you in the long run.
But if I want to consume a whole lot, that's my choice.
Yes, consume it, and then I will see you at the hospital.
so we end up paying for what you're doing either way. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I mean, you can have, like, soda in moderation, but, like, that's not what I was going to say, but where is the fine line drawn with this? Like, how do we determine whether something has enough nutritional value to where we don't tax it or something?
It has no nutritional value.
No, I'm not talking about, like, soda, but if they start doing that, then what would make them stop from taxing candy and then taxing all this other stuff? And, like, where do you draw the line with it? Like, what do you... I feel like...
I don't know. But I would think with some of the other things, like with yogurt and some of those, that might just be the impetus for the manufacturers to make it more healthy, okay? You know, there's some yogurts that don't have a lot of sugar in them, okay? Some schools have a criteria as to what kids can bring in their lunch.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I've heard about this.
I have one grandchild who is in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. And he's not here. He's in Philadelphia. Huh. But
is that ironic?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the school that he attends, there are certain things that they cannot bring in for snacks.
Like what?
Like sodas. You can't have sodas and lots of chocolate milk. I mean, because kids bring their lunch.
Yeah.
Lots of chocolate milk and candies. And if you want to have snacks, you can have things like apples and fruit.
Oh, see?
So there are ways of having good things.
What about a celebration? Like you're celebrating
a birthday or something?
Yeah.
Now, on a celebration, they can have... They tend to have more healthy cupcakes, like bread cakes and things like that. Okay.
Yeah. The icings is what gets you.
Yeah. Well, yes, it does. But also, for example, like in biscuits and bread, there's a lot of sugar in those.
Yeah.
But I love me some bread. I love food. You put food in front of me, I'm going to eat it.
Me too.
Except for the food
that
I don't want.
We talk about nutritional value. What about pizza?
Oh, I love pizza.
Me too.
I love pizza.
If you got meat on it.
Or like fast food and like other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think...
I'm not going to hate.
That a lot of this is directed toward your age group. Okay, the teenage population, because we find that teenagers, for example, soda is their top choice of beverage. And I'm sure you know a lot because you work, but they drink a lot of soda.
Yeah.
Excessive amounts of soda. And again, it goes back to, you know, we're seeing... obesity and diabetes, and diabetes is awful in such young populations. So we're not just getting rid of it totally, but we're making it expensive to buy.
So just put a warning label on the soda instead of taxing it.
So maybe there's better education about the effects of soda.
If everyone's more educated, then they have the free will choice of picking whether they want it or not.
I know what this is going to do to me. I know that the causes may be diabetes or...
Mm-hmm. Like the surgical warning on cigarettes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. It's like another reason I think why we drink so much soda is how accessible it is for us.
Mm-hmm.
How easy it is to get it, how many places have it.
And is it what bothers me and has always bothered me is that healthy things are more expensive than junk food.
Yeah.
So I can go to McDonald's and I can get a McChicken, so good, and a large Coke. Mm-hmm. And spend $3? And then if I want a salad, I have to pay $6. Right. So why am I going to pay $6 for a salad if I can just get the McChicken and the large Coke? You know what I mean?
Good point. But that's another thing I was going to mention. Do you feel like the whole forbidden fruit theory, like you can't have this, would encourage people to want it even more?
Oh, yeah. I feel like
it's just like the rebellious feeling, I guess.
No, like when they banned liquor in the United States, prohibition, everyone got so angry about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you as a child, when you don't, you, if there's something that you don't want to do, and then you just don't want to do it, and then your parents say don't do it, then you kind of want to do it.
That's what I mean, the forbidden fruit theory.
Yeah,
you know, like, you can't do it. As soon as you're told you can't do it, then you want
you kind of want to do it.
Like marijuana laws and stuff like that. Like, everyone, like, when it's illegal, everyone's like, oh, but like when it gets legal,
they're like, oh, it's legal.
Well, I'm sure, you know, like when you're told you can't do something and you like to, and then you want to do it just because you're told you can't do it. That's what we mean by the forbidden fruit theory. Okay, that's what we're talking about. So, you know, I think you touched on it, Lauren. Are we really just kind of avoiding ways of tackling this, which would be through education and money and really looking at the roots of the problem?
Oh, for sure. I think it's so much easier to just say, hey, tax this, than to actually, like, delve deeper into what's happening and, like, why people are choosing different things and different lifestyles and how to prevent that and educate everyone. I think that's, like, so much better, and that would benefit more people than just saying, hey, your soda's going to cost more now.
I think another thing that we might consider is looking at what the school can do about it. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and we have just been looking at a number of current issues. We talked about Pearl Harbor, and we were talking about soda and the soda tax before we went on break. And looking at other alternatives, what role does the school play in this? I mean, for example, PE is cut. Lots of places don't have PE. You don't have very much PE. We used to, when I was in school, we would have PE 4 times a week. You know,
it's
now
not required,
and it's not required.
Mm-mm. There's a credit for high school, but like honestly, like if you're in high school, it's not required unless you have to have one credit.
But you have to take a sex ed class. But most people can do that in middle school.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And once again, in high school, it's mostly just academic.
Yeah, that's just a graduation requirement. But besides that, it's not enforced at all.
So that might be a way that we could address some of this obesity. I mean, I'm just throwing that out there to see what you all think. What about courses? Are you taught about, do you have any course that really deals specifically with nutrition?
No.
I don't think so.
I think Florida Virtual School offers a couple classes that could deal with that, but, like, personally, like, at our school, I don't think that we offer electives.
And it's really, for, like, school lunch and stuff, you can't buy a soda. You can't, like, get a soda with it. It comes with, like, a milk or, like, an apple juice and orange juice.
Okay, yeah. So they and do.
So it's, I think it's regulated through and then school lunches and stuff.
We have this thing, it's called, like, a la carte. It's, like, like different stuff. It's, like, pizza and, like, chicken nuggets and, like, regulated stuff. But you can buy, even there, you still can't buy sodas. It's, like, Powerade, like, the orange juice, water. Like, for school lunches, the only thing I don't like about the school lunches is you can't get a water, like, instead of, like, a milk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know that when Michelle Obama became the first lady, a lot of things changed within, like, the health regulations within, like, schools. And I know everywhere across the country that happened. Yeah. But with our school, it definitely hit us because, like, we used to have these, like, pizzas, and now they're different because we can't, like, have more than this amount of sodium. And so, yeah, it's regulated.
Yeah.
Okay.
Within our school.
So you really are practicing good nutrition at
overall,
school.
Overall, I would say yes.
Okay.
As a collective community.
Yeah, from the cafeteria food. I mean, you can bring whatever you want.
Right,
but
of course,
what they serve, like, what they have to offer is generally
you can go off campus nutritious. And get, like, McDonald's or, like... Mm-hmm.
What about vending machines?
There's a couple, but it's limited in the options,
yeah.
So it's not, like...
It's still, like sparkling...
Yeah, it's, like, sparkling water and, like, Coke Zero, and then, like, there's a lot of, like... There's not, like, the simple... Mm-hmm. It's all, like, the fancy ones.
Okay. And even they say some juices...
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a lot of sugar.
Orange has a lot of citric acid, which would be bad for you in bulk.
Mm-hmm.
But the orange juice, like, things are about, like, 6 ounces.
Okay. As we close on this, do you think the government intervention undermines the student's ability to learn how to make healthy choices? I mean, if the government is putting down these dictates...
Yeah.
I feel like people wouldn't listen. So people would just shrug it off.
I think just putting putting a tax on something does nothing for educating people on why or how it can help them.
Instead of taxing it, why don't you tell them, give them numbers or give them histories of people who have crappy eating habits or drink this much soda and what would happen to your body.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we educate people, then
like
maybe they'll stop buying soda.
Lauren, you had a good point when we were off air because you were talking about how...
Disney World, the movie theater, if you go there, they charge outrageous prices for soda, but... Everyone still buys it. The fair, everywhere you go, yeah. So that's a perfect example of how I don't think it would work at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because if people want something, then they're going to buy it.
I'll get like at the movies, a large icy and a Sour Patch Kids. It'll be like $9, $9,
$10. Right, right. That's right.
Like,
it is.
Sometimes more
Mom's
than that,
card.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying, that really doesn't deter you, the price being high.
Yeah,
no.
You're still going to buy it.
Mm-hmm. But some people may not be able to buy it.
Yeah.
Okay. One more thing. Oh, go right ahead, Lauren.
It's like when you're younger and you put your hand on the stove after your mom tells you not to, she'll tell you not to put your hand on the stove, but you won't know why not to until you put your hand on the stove. That's like what's happening here. Like, you have to know why you shouldn't do it to not do it instead of something just being like, oh, you shouldn't do that. Because then you're going to, you know... I mean, you still want it. I mean, there's no reason for you not to.
And let me throw this out. What does that say? How should we handle it with people who may have food stamps? And can we tell them that they cannot buy soda using food stamps? I don't think so.
That's a difficult one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very controversial topic.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they should be able to... buy whatever they want with food stamps.
Okay.
They should be able to buy soda if they want to with food stamps.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, in these last 10 minutes, let's talk about plastic pollution. Plastic pollution involves the accumulation of plastic products in the environment that adversely affect wildlife, habitat, humans. Prominence of plastic is correlated with plastics being inexpensive. Let me just finish and then I'll get to you first. Plastics being very inexpensive and very durable. But the problem with them is that they're really slow to degrade. I mean, the wetlands, waterways, oceans are adversely affected by plastic. And humans are affected by plastics, too. They can have their thyroid levels change.
There's controversy between putting it into landfills, but the thing with some of these is their rates are so slow. Like, it takes them 30, 40 years to degrade.
Or longer. I looked it up in preparation for the program, and it said... It took a plastic cup 50 years to decompose.
Gosh, that's really concerning.
Diapers, you know, disposable diapers take 450 years. That's what it says. And fishing line, for example, you know, that may you may see a lot of it in the rivers and oceans, 600 years. To degrade.
Yeah, that's not okay.
On the flip side of that, burning it, it just like releases, like raises CO2 levels, and then that starts the other conversation about like global warming, and then that's a whole another topic about like the atmosphere. That's not
question. I don't mean to sound unintelligent or anything, but how exactly is plastic made?
What? Why?
Because it's inexpensive. I know that matter can be like created or destroyed.
But
so
it's
very obviously harmful.
And it's very inexpensive. The key with it, and why we use so much
it's
of it,
it's cheap. Yeah,
I mean, and it's everywhere.
And it must be easy to use. Yeah. Or not easy, it's easy to make.
I mean, you go to a grocery store.
Everything
comes in plastic.
Oh, yeah.
Unless,
I work at a grocery store. Okay. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Unless you ask for it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I know at Publix, can get paper. Okay. But some places, you don't even have that option.
Yeah.
At Costco, they do the boxes, which is pretty.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Reusable bags. Glasses,
I
jewelry.
I feel like we should find. There's the whole burning and the whole recycling thing takes a long time, and the decomposing. We should just keep it out of our environments, out of the ocean, out of...
Okay. Oh. No, go on.
Like, I'll go to the beach, and I am literally, I belong to the beach. I love the beach, and seeing trash on the beach breaks my heart. Like, I'm the person who brings a trash bag with her while I'm at the beach, and I'll just collect trash throughout my beach trip.
You spend a lot of time doing that, don't you?
For, like, plastics, I'm assuming it takes... You have to burn it with something.
Well, it's made out of oil.
Yeah, oils. It would be either, like, oils or... To melt it down, you would use probably charcoal or, like, burn natural gases, which is not good.
A lot of fishermen, well, when they open and gut the fish, will find plastic. Plastic, particularly bags.
Yeah. And when you get one, you can discover what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Because I went... On a different note, I went dove hunting like 2 weeks ago, and we were like getting the meat out of them. We were like opening them up, and one of them opened up, like 10 things of corn popped out of it, just because it was eating corn earlier. And then I opened it up, and it was still like not digested.
Mm-hmm.
It's
exactly.
Very warm too.
Well, and that's where we go into it really having an impact on the wildlife, and the animals in the sea, okay? Because that plastic is really bad for them.
Yeah. It's also with the rings, like, with, like, example, Gatorade bottles, the rings that they come in.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this thing, like, they want you to cut it because when...
Oh,
if they do put it in the...
Yeah,
it can, like, put around their necks.
Oh, yeah.
And Happy Feet.
Did they raise awareness about all that
stuff?
Yeah,
they did. Yeah. Because one of the
birds,
main guy,
he
like had a plastic thing around his neck like all the time because he got stuck on it when he was swimming and hunting for fish.
I watched a heartbreaking video actually the other day on Twitter that really depicted all the different wildlife species that are endangered and how the environment impacts them, like how our usage of different daily materials that we use, we don't realize what impact it has on other things besides ourselves. So I think going back to like the soda tax that we were talking about, I think that instead of just like proposing different options from plastic or like telling don't use plastic, that we should actually educate people about
what it's doing.
What it's doing, because we don't care about something until we're impacted by it.
Just saying earlier in SGA, Mr. Caps was talking about how having a cause, you don't, like, devote yourself to it unless you know, like, the reason.
For example, like, we're
doing a dance marathon, for example. You will pay to sign up, but you won't raise money because you don't know, like, what the money's going to and what, like, the cause is.
Mm-hmm.
And some people just, it's just the unawareness of people of what doing the little things has the impact. If one person doesn't shut off the water or something, if 100 people don't, it will raise exponentially, like, the effect that it will have.
Yes, ma'am.
Recently, I actually delved more into, like, animal research and just, like, all the different things that we're doing to our animals and how things are affecting them.
Mm-hmm.
And I made the choice to try to become a vegetarian, and I've been doing it for about a month and a half now. And it's difficult, but I think it's, like, worth it. I'm not telling anybody to become a vegetarian because eating meat's great. I mean, meat tastes great.
It tastes good.
But I just think that me not supporting, like, the meat industry and the things that are going on and, like, the different things that we're doing towards animals, it, like, each person has their own impact on it. And, like, what they choose to do with it. So I think that you should, like, weigh your options with your personal imprint here on the Earth, because I know that we each have our ecological footprint.
Yes.
And so I think that we could be more cautious of that and more aware of the effects that it has on animals.
Since you have
been the Earth.
Not eating meat,
yes.
Have you noticed any changes or differences within yourself?
I definitely have to make sure that I get different protein sources from different, and make sure I'm getting enough iron every day. But I mean, I don't know if it's like just me like thinking, oh, I'm a vegetarian now, so I feel better. But I mean, like, I feel.
Do you feel any
better? Yeah.
My best friend is a vegetarian, and she has been for a year, and she says that her body feels cleaner.
It does.
And
yeah,
that,
I feel more rested too.
Yeah. She said, and I remember Jasmine was a, what was Jasmine? She wasn't a vegan. Jasmine was a vegetarian, and after once she ate meat, the
it
meat
made her
sick.
Yes. Yeah, like your body rejects it.
Yeah, because it's
Yeah. That's a good point.
Really?
Well, I mean, we're not talking about, like, vegetarians, but I think yeah, like, the plastic and the different stuff, it impacts the animals, and I think that...
Oh, it does. It has a major impact.
Yeah, by not eating, meat.
And they found that it has impact on humans. Even some people have an allergic reaction, dermatitis, you know, related to the plastic. So... Yeah, maybe it's not a big thing. Maybe it is. I mean, some say, oh, plastic is fine. Why worry about it? But no matter where you go...
Over time, it will build up.
Yeah.
Even if you say, like, not right now, it doesn't matter.
It's already building up.
Because it's catching up to us of what, like,
it's catching up. And as population, like, grows.
We've already, like, reached and, like, broke through our carrying capacity of the Earth. It's now just getting to the point of trying to, like, maintain or, like, decrease it. Because right now we're still growing, like, massive.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I know, like... working at Publix, that people come through the line, and it's crazy. The meat will be, like, wrapped in plastic already.
And
it's
then
a styrofoam, and then it's wrapped in plastic.
Plastic inside.
And then they want it to be in a plastic bag, but then in another plastic bag. Like, they want their meat wrapped in plastic, then in plastic.
That's something.
Yeah.
I just feel like...
I mean, obviously, that's benefiting them by not, like, cross-contaminating food.
But they're not thinking what they're doing.
Yeah, there's no thought process.
They don't know the result of it.
Well, that's it. We have run out of time. Again, I appreciate you sharing your thoughts. To my listening audience, tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Hollifield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Teen Podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.